Welcome to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Don't forget, you can find us on the ESPN Chicago app as well. Take us wherever you go. If you're getting out of the car, going in the grocery store, pop in those headphones and you can listen to us as you're making your way around town. Also, if you missed any of the show, you can find us on that ESPN Chicago app as well. Just find the CDGA Golf Show tab and you can find all the podcasts for anything you missed, or you can find us also wherever you get your podcasts. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. Talking some British Open with you as we are now less than 2 weeks away from everyone making the trip across the pond to Royal Troon. Of course, plenty will be out there for the Scottish Open as well. That is going to take place next week, starting on Thursday, in this segment. Brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort Experience, a Michigan masterpiece. All right, as we dive into the British Open here, Mike, and we were kind of talking a little bit about Rory the last segment there, but with Rory McIlroy and the way that he has played over the last 3 years in majors, he has been spectacular. Any golfer who has not won a major would love to have those results. They're as good as they come. You've got a handful of runner-up finishes, plenty of top 10s, top 5s. He has been nails in the majors if the goal was to just get inside the top 10. He has been as good as any golfer on the tour. The problem is he hasn't won any of them, and he hasn't won a major since 2014. But it feels like all of the excruciating heartbreak that he has gone through, this feels like it would be the perfect culmination for Rory McIlroy winning at the British this year, because it would just kind of take, it would wash away 3 years of heartbreak for him.
Yeah, it really would. And, you know, when you really study his major record, he has had in the last like 5 of 6 years, he's had a second place finish. He's almost like Mr. Avis in that sense. You know, getting, you know, being, you know, the bridesmaid, never the bride, so to speak. He's, you know, he's had some very, very clear near misses, and he should have had near wins. He could so easily have double digit major championships to his career record. If you look at it, and to your point earlier, a lot of people would take this as their career. And he's still only 35 years old. Now, some will say he's right here at the peak of his career. Maybe so. But I still say he's got another solid 5 to 7 solid years of competition left in that body. And he's in fantastic shape. I could easily see him being ultra-competitive through the year of 45. It seems like in this new day and age in fitness and technology, these guys are starting to be more and more formidably competitive in their early 40s than they've ever been before. So I look at a guy like this to not waver in his athleticism and fitness. So I think he's going to be around, barring any injuries, for quite some time, and being able to secure a 5th, a 6th, a 7th. I still don't put it out of the possibility where he could get somewhere between 8 to 10 majors before his career is over.
The thing with Rory too is, wouldn't he be such a perfect champion, not just for the British Open, but for the year of major champions that we've had? Think about it. It feels like it's almost the last, the missing infinity stone here for what we've seen in terms of major champions. Scotty, best player in the world, goes out and wins the Masters, right? Xander goes out and wins the PGAs. He was the best player that had not won a major in their career yet. Then you have Bryson, the guy from Liv. You get a little bit of a Liv mix in there, and he has been so good in majors this year, and he's really started to endear himself to the public after kind of falling off the face of the earth the last year and a half. and then Rory. The ultimate redemption arc of heartbreak after heartbreak throughout this year. He's had the good finishes, but he has not won that major since 2014. It feels like he would be that sort of last piece to what I feel would be a perfect foursome of champions for the year on the majors.
Yeah, it would be poetic justice at its finest because he deserves to win. He hasn't taken any shortcuts, but he would be, to your point, a perfect complement to the three you just mentioned and for all those right reasons. And, you know, when Liv gets a little bit of action to keep itself relevant in that regard, I think Rory would be the fitting caboose to an amazing four gentlemen of winning majors this year. And what a story it would be all in itself for him to overcome all this and to finally get that proverbial monkey off his back in, you know, in the 10 plus year now drought that's occurring for Rory. And, you know, and I think the British Open and having his folks and his fans and his fan base there, I think is going to be a very welcome sight. I think he'll get himself comfortable at the Scottish, and knowing him, he's not going to want to peak there. He's going to want to have it all come out at the British Open at Royal Troon. And, you know, I think he's going to be ready. He's got a chip on his shoulder like never before. And that's where I think it's just going to be amazing theater to see how he does and how his good friend John Rahm does now that they'll come back together. But, yeah, this is going to be great theater, and I think a fitting way to end the season of majors with the way it's all set up and staged for a lot of stories within the story.
Yeah, I think that everything that we've seen from this year, if you could get a final major champion, and it's Rory McIlroy, it would be the perfect kind of close there. As I take a look at some of the odds for what we're looking at for the British Open right now, Scottie Scheffler, your favorite, and he just continues to be priced at this Tiger level from Tiger's prime, and he's plus 450 to win at the British Open. Then you've got Rory coming in at 7-1. Bryson, your most recent major winner, checks in at 12-1. Then you've got Xander at 14-1. So there you go. Three of your four major champions occupy three of the top four spots. Then you get into some of these young guys like Ludvig Åberg at 16-1, Victor Hovland at 18-1, Morikawa at 16-1, Tommy Fleetwood 22-1. John Rahm at 20-1, Cam Smith 22-1, Brooks at 25-1, Patrick Cantlay 30-1, Shane Lowry 35-1, and Tony Finau 40-1. We're not quite at the point where we're picking out our CDGA fantasy golf teams yet, but if you had your eye on a couple of guys here in the early going, who are you looking at here?
Well, aside from those that we spoke about, the guy that jumps off the page at me is Ludvig. I just think, you know, when he's back over, you know, across the pond and in his comfort zone, if you will, I'd look at a guy like that. He is so poised. It wouldn't surprise me that his first win is the British Open. But aside from that, you know, the other guys that start to jump off the page are some of the Liv guys. You know, you got John Rahm, you've got Bryson, you've got Cam Smith, and you got Joaquin Niemann. You've got a lot of Liv guys that are comfortable on that type of golf course. Yeah. And so I look at these guys to be in the hunt. They may not win, but I think they're going to be in the hunt. And a guy that I really think could really turn his year around in a big, big way is John Rahm.
I was going to bring that up to you. Like, what do you make of what you've seen out of Rahm this year? He withdrew from the PGAs, but it just has not been. Or he withdrew from the U.S. Open, but it just has not been John Rahm's year. And coming off of a prolific 2023, he makes the leap to Live, which I think was a little odd to some people. All things considered, John Rahm just has not looked like the golfer that we thought, and we've seen some of the tantrums that he's thrown on the course with the drones overhead and all that. It just, everything, it kind of looks like the pre-big-time winning John Rahm, pre-first major John Rahm, where the frustrations showed on the course, and it almost feels like he's reverted back to like his 25-year-old self.
On certain levels, I think he has, because I think he realizes maybe this wasn't the best decision, or at least the timing of it being the best decision. And does he have a little buyer's remorse? I think he's got a lot of buyer's remorse right now, and he's trying to figure out exactly how he fits in and how his game can be managed so that when he shows up with his former colleagues, that he is at the very top of his game. And I think it's going to take time. And my hope for him is that we start to see a bit more of the John Rahm we came to know and love before he left the PGA Tour. And I think when he left his comfort zone back on the PGA Tour. And I think he's just trying to find himself, you know, and he's fighting himself inside his own mind. And when you start doing that as a golfer, that's a really bad place to be. And, you know, physically, he's got all the talent in the world. It's just that 6 inches in between his ears is what's given him now some of the issues. When you start looking at your colleagues and thinking that they're thinking different things about yourself, you're now no longer in the present, looking at what you need to be doing as far as your own game and playing the golf course. You start looking at those outside distractions, and, you know, it's just going to create more chaos and clutter in your mind, and you're not playing, you know, free and easy like you were just last year when you were safely and, you know, sort of insulated, if you will, on the PGA Tour. He's now in an abyss out there and not sure where it's going because, as Jay Monahan said this week, we still don't know where it's going. And I think the biggest thing at the crux of the issue as to why we're not seeing a quicker resolve is, what do we do with the people who do want to come back? Because I think John Rahm's name is one of those that, how do we bring John Rahm back? You know, how do we bring back Bryson? It's not that there's a lot of guys that are going to want to come back, but the guys they do want back, how do we bring them back while keeping peace and harmony within the PGA Tour family? And that, my friend, is a very sticky, wicky problem that they just can't seem to figure out. But John Rahm, I think, is one of the names that gets bannered about a lot, and I think his game right now is in a state of flux, much like the professional game as we know it. So, you know, this is a big event on him, and I think he's probably going to put a lot of pressure on himself, hopefully not a lot of undue pressure that causes a negative result or a negative response, which creates that negative result. I really, for John Rahm's sake, and really for professional golf, because I think it's fun to watch him in the mix. And, you know, we've always talked about that Scotty-John Rahm battle. And I think these are the future of the Tiger, Phil, Jack and Arnie, Jack and Tom Watson kind of rivalry. We need John Rahm to be playing good major championship golf because we as golf fans deserve it.
Yeah. I 100% agree with you there. The other name off of LIV that is intriguing to me, you brought his name up briefly there, Cam Smith, because he has kind of been, I don't want to say lurking, because he's never really been a threat this year aside from the Masters where he finished top 10, but he did not fare very well at the PGAs, finished 32nd at the U.S. Open, but he's won this event before. It was the last event that he won before he did come over and make the jump over to LIV, and he's got one of the best putting strokes in the world right now. It feels like he could be one of those guys that makes this sort of leap here, and this could be the time where he really strikes an event he's comfortable in. He's won before, and could this be the event for Cam Smith? That's another one of those LIV names that I've got sort of floating in my mind as we enter into the home stretch for finally making some picks with the British Open.
Yeah, I mean, he is, and you hit the nail on the head. His putter is what won him the Open Championship back in 2022, and for that matter, you know, he won the Tour our Players Championship in that same year as well. So we forget how good Cam Smith was in 2022 because shortly after the Open, as you noted, he left for LIV, and our ability to connect with Cam Smith was sort of cut off. And unless you were really, truly following Liv, Cam Smith was just another Cam out there to us, you know? And we just never got to really know him as the player he ultimately is and can be. And we may see that Open champion resurface again. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if he were to win the British and the Liv, taking two out of four of our majors this year, where they took one out of four last year, but also had some nice finishes in the other. So when these guys said all these Liv guys are going to not be competitive and whatnot, you mentioned Cam Smith, and he's only 30 years young. I mean, this guy has still got the best years of his career so far in front of him. So he's a guy that could be awfully, awfully dangerous, because he is very, very comfortable playing on those type of links courses for sure.
Absolutely. All right, when we come back, you know, Scottish Open, a lot of these golfers going to be traveling overseas. I want to get some of your travel tips, because now is kind of like a popular time. Some people will go to different areas of the country to get ready for some different golf trips and stuff like that. And also the late fall and early winter, another popular time. Maybe you're starting to gear up. Maybe you've got some plans already in the works as well. I want to get your traveling tips for going on golf trips, equipment you need, just how to overall prepare, all that stuff. I want to get that advice from you as well, Mike. And if you've got any questions as well about it, or if you've got any tips that you have found have been very helpful as well, 312-332-3776 is the number to call. This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. Tyler Rocky alongside Mike Gilligan. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season, 9 to 11 a.m. Peggy and Dion coming up in about 35 minutes from now. All right, Mike, I want to get into some of this travel stuff, because I know this is a popular time for people to start mobilizing throughout the country, get to some different spots. I know a real popular thing, especially with people my age, and I'm sure you've done this many a time as well, but wedding comes up and you say to yourself, how can I parlay this into a golf trip as well? I did this last year in North Carolina. We had a fantastic time in the Greensboro area, golfing around North Carolina. But what are some of the tips, tricks, gear, must-have stuff that you need for golfing trips personally?
Well, it depends. If you're staying domestically or going over internationally, like my brother and my two nephews just left on the 4th of July over to Ireland, so this topic couldn't be any more fitting because they were trying to figure out, Uncle Mike, when you play golf over there, should I really bring a range suit?
Oh, yeah.
You better have a good one at that, sir. But no, really, I think the first thing that I always recommend to anybody, whether you're traveling to go play golf at a wedding, if you're bringing your golf clubs and putting them on an aircraft, the first thing you want to do is de-weight it. In other words, clean out your golf bag. Get rid of all of those old top flights and pinnacles that you picked up when you were ball hawking, when you were walking along the lake and you kept throwing them in the bag, and now the bag weighs, you know, 12 pounds heavier than it really should. So take all those balls out, all those little awards that you succumbed, and put them in a bag, put them to the side. Get rid of, you probably have 3,000 tees. You only need about 30. Mm-hmm. You know. So in other words, get rid of the junk, the empty Gatorade bottles, all of it. I think my son pulled out 8 Gatorade bottles out of his bag one time, and it was like a clown car. So I think the first do is get yourself organized and repack it for what you're going to need. If you're going somewhere on a true golf trip and you're going to have to bring a lot of ammunition because you're one of those kind of players, let's say upper teens into the 20 type handicap, and you know you're going to lose your fair share of golf balls, the one thing you got to be careful and guard against is putting too much weight into your travel bag. Mm-hmm. So what I do and what I recommend is split up the weight of the golf balls between your suitcase as well as in your travel bag or your carry-on. So you may throw a dozen or so right in your carry-on like it's a book, and then that way that also helps maximize that luggage with luggage weight without getting charged. But you do need to have a good travel bag, and don't scrimp on that, because if you do, chances are you're leaving your clubs to be, you know, susceptibly treated very poorly by our friends at Delta, United, American, and any of the others. And if you saw the YouTube video about a month or so ago of the guys just heaving that, I think, Tennessee golf team.
Yeah.
That is no way to treat golf clubs. And when people are handling your bags and they don't understand the sensitivity and how meaningful our golf clubs are to us, and they treat them as such, that's why you cannot scrimp on a travel bag. And a travel bag, ideally, that has a center post in it so that when things bang up against the ends of it, it's not going to snap a driver head, right, or an exceptionally long putter or a three-wood head. And speaking of those types of heads that have the ability to unloosen them, take them off the shafts, I highly recommend you take them off, but take a picture of the club setting before
right,
you unloosen that thing, so that when you get there, all you're doing is matching it back up. And if you can't do it, you at least have a picture to go show the golf professional, this is my setting, can you please do this for me? And they'll happily do it. So make sure that, you know, if you're afraid of taking that head off the driver, don't be. Others can put it back on. Just take a picture of it, and you'll be good there. The other thing is, I like to get real smart in the way that I pack soft items such as socks and T-shirts and things of that nature. And I'll use that as additional padding in my travel bag. Mm. And I'll also, instead of shoe trees, if for those who use shoe trees for your golf shoes, don't pack those. That's just more weight. Instead, throw your socks into your golf shoes so they stay in that nice form, and that they're not getting crushed and, you know, dented and, you know, all beat up by the time you get to your end destination. So I like to do that. And then on the reverse, with some of the clothes that then become dirty, those then become more packing material for the travel bag, because then that leaves me room to purchase a few more new goodies at the places that I play. So now I keep my weight in both bags enough so that I don't have to pay a penalty price on the way back as well. But make sure that you pay attention to the weight of the bags that you pack, and be smart about it as far as where you put different items that are lighter, softer, to help complement some of the packing. And then the last couple of things I might suggest is, if you know you're going somewhere where, let's say, out to the desert, if you're going over to Spain, you know, they've got deserts there, or you're going to play out in Arizona, maybe not at this time of the year, but maybe in the fall you're heading to Arizona, you know you're going to have shots that are going to be played off that really difficult desert, sand, gravel, just that type of ground surface. And it really doesn't do your new set of Titleists or your new set of TaylorMade irons a darn bit of good when you start ripping shots off of that. So if you're going to have a club that you want to punch out of, bring an old 7-iron with you. Throw that in the bag.
Okay.
And also, when you're looking at your clubs in the bag, make sure you're only bringing 14, because if you're carrying 4 putters like I do, you got to take them out now. It's time to travel. You got to pick one and stick with it. So if you're out demoing clubs, a couple of drivers in the bag, make sure you unweight all of that as well. And then lastly, lock it up. I mean, get a decent lock, and I would not recommend a key lock. I would recommend one with a combination, because at a time when you have to unlock your bag quickly because of, you know, the hotel attendant needs to get your bag out, or somebody at the airport needs to check something, it's much easier to remember the combination than to be digging around in a bag trying to find that teeny little key. So get a little combo lock, easy combo for you to remember, and safe travels. I mean, traveling and playing golf, there's nothing better than taking your game and go test it somewhere else, not only outside the state, but, you know, when you're talking about the climate and the geography. So nothing better than bringing your own clubs. But there are those times you have to expect the unexpected. And by that, I mean your clubs might get lost. And that happened to me one time when I was going to play golf with Steve Elkington down in Texas at his club. My clubs, when I left Rochester, New York in 1995 to head down there, my clubs went to Hawaii. I went down to Houston. When I got there, I didn't have my bags, and I didn't have my luggage. I only had the clothes on that I had, and we were teeing it up the next morning. And fortunately for me, my bags arrived literally minutes before the tee time, and I was changing my clothes and getting my clubs ready. The point of it is bring a change of clothes with you on the carry-on. They can always get you a demo set, but if you're wearing, you know, jeans and tennis shoes and you don't have a proper golf attire, guess what? You're either going to have to buy some or you're not playing.
Right. One other thing that I would suggest, too, with the golf bag, especially now we're in a busy travel time, bags get lost, right? I mean, Cap's been talking about it all week. Like, his bags have been lost. He went to go play golf up in Canada, and his bag was stuck in Canada for the longest time. If you have an iPhone, I don't even know if you need an iPhone, but if you have an iPhone, buy an AirTag, too. And put one of those AirTags in your golf bag. Because like you said, those bags can get lost along the way. Well, at least you'll know where it is at all times because of these AirTags. They're like basically these little tracking devices, and you can track them at all times through your phone. Get one of these AirTags because it will make a world of difference. And they're $30. You can get four of them for $100. Like, it's worth the investment. And it's not just, I mean, you can use them in different things, but like, you put one in your wallet, you put another with your keys, all that stuff. It makes a world of a difference. And I think that having one in your golf bag to just know where it is at all times, even if an airline gives you difficulty with it, it's good to have your peace of mind that you know where it is, and that maybe you can help assist the airline in getting that bag in case it does get, God forbid, get lost at some point along the way as well.
That's a great idea. I hadn't even thought about the AirTag idea. That's excellent, because you're right. A lot of times, and I know when we're dealing with the airlines, when you first lose your bag and it doesn't come off the carousel, at first wave of panic,
right,
then you're trying to figure out, where did it go? Did it stay back in Chicago, or is it somewhere to be found? And often the first answer is, we don't know where it is, but we're going to find out, versus you saying, I see it flying, and it's somewhere over Colorado heading west. So at least you can help them help you find your bag.
Yeah, or
so
sometimes it's just in the oversized baggage area as well. I remember my first trip, I was like, where did my bag go? And then they're like, oh, you got to go to this area with the oversized, and boom, it was right there, right in front. So it's easy to get it right there.
And if you go down to Atlanta, if you've ever been to
Atlanta,
good luck.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Sometimes when they unload those planes and they just put them in that one giant area near baggage claim, having an AirTag is going to save you a solid 10 minutes.
Yeah. I remember I wasn't golfing down there, but I was going down there. It was probably in like March-ish. So like golfing in Georgia, like you can do that in the March time there. And going down there, I remember just walking by the oversized bag area like you were talking about there, and it is golf bag after golf bag after golf bag after, like, it you will have to sift through a number of them. So yeah, that's something that can save you a little bit of time there. I have a couple more questions too about the travel bags in general as well. I want to pick your brain on some of that. And if you've got a question for Mike, or if you've got a tip yourself that you always utilize when you do travel throughout the country or overseas for a little bit of golf, 312-332-3776 if you'd like to share with the class as well. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Travel with you here on the CDGA Golf Show, the segment brought to you by Tour Edge. As we talk about your travel tips and tricks, Mike has given us quite a few, and I have some questions about golf bags for you as well. So when you're going out and purchasing a golf bag, a golf travel bag, that is, what are you looking for and what kind of sticks out to you when you are going about it? I know you said earlier, do not skimp on it, even though some of these can get quite expensive nowadays. What are the couple of things that you're really looking for when you're going out and purchasing a travel golf bag?
Well, the first thing I look at is the ease and ability to drag it, pull it, push it. So what kind of wheels do they have? And are they of the wheels that, you know, will work rain or shine? You know, they're the kind that you almost see like in a inline rollerblade. Mm-hmm. They have that polyurethane. Those seem to work the best versus a hard rubber or even like a metal wheel. I've seen guys have those, and those things just, they're like bad grocery carts. It's almost like a more of a pain in the neck, and it actually can hurt your shoulder and your arm and your wrist is if these things aren't moving like very, very easily for you. So I look at the wheel and how that all works in the handle, but then I look at the outside, the cover itself, and it needs to be of a very, very, very tough material, nothing that can penetrate it, meaning ripping it, tearing it, because there's a lot of sharp edges on a lot of the other bags that come in contact with it. So, you know, whether it's that Cordura, whether it's that ballistic, technology material that they'll use, and Club Glove is a brand that I prefer because it meets all that criteria. Now, it's not a hard shell. Some people prefer a hard plastic shell. The upside to that, it does offer more protection, especially for the shafts. Mm-hmm. The downside to it, though, is when you're trying to wedge it in with other luggage, it doesn't necessarily conform because of its rigidity, and it and can make for, you know, when you're getting into the rental car or into other cars, a little bit more problematic. But by far, they're the most protective of the travel bags are the hard plastic framed ones. But yeah, that's what I basically look for. But I think what's also important is that, you know, when something falls on the heads of all clubs, whether it's another bag or the side of a bin or a cart that's carrying the luggage, to have something that's taking the brute force of that contact so that it isn't the driver head or the three-wood head, or if you, in my case, a long putter is taking that. Because I've had shafts bent, and I've actually had shafts kinked and broken in transit because of, you know, somebody just firing, you know, Aunt Mabel's 65-pound suitcase. They just dropped it in the middle of my golf shaft. So I had three shafts that got bent and needed to be replaced. But I didn't know it at the time until I started pulling them out on par threes. They had a slight little banana in them.
Yeah. And then at that point, like, so what do you do at that point? You let's say something does get damaged in transit. You get to the course. You probably don't even realize it until, A, you're at the course, or, B, you get to, you're putting them into the car after, when you're on your way to your round and you've unpacked it out of everything. Like, what are you doing? Are you just without that club for a day, maybe borrowing a club from a member in your foursome, or what are you doing there?
Yeah, it's all the above. Depending on where you are, their capabilities. I've been at golf courses where I've been able to just drop it off and pick it up the next day. They just reshaft it, or they have a service or somebody, you know, either at the resort or, you know, in town that they know of. Every golf course knows of a guy that can usually get something done. Now, if you're in one of those situations where, well, we're playing here today and then tomorrow we're going an hour down that way and another hour the next day, that becomes a little bit more problematic. That might be where you might have to play a little local rule amongst your friends and say, I am going to borrow Tyler's 7-iron every time I need to hit a 7-iron. Or you do, if you find that the club might have a demo set or rental set, and sometimes, just sometimes, if you look in the lost and found, sometimes if it's the right club, there may be one very much like yours sitting in there. But do me a favor, folks, if you do use it, return it back to lost and found, you know, just so, because get it back to the rightful owner. But there's a litany of different things you can do, or You just have to either club down or club up and hit the shot accordingly, which also makes you a better player in that regard as well. So there's a few things you can do, you know, after you get over the shock and awe of, oh, my gosh, I have a club that broke. And I had one time. It was kinked, and we tried to swing it anyway. And on the very first swing, the shaft came apart. It just broke right where the shaft was compromised. So if those metal shafts ever get any form of a seam in the shaft, that shaft is done. It's actually unsafe to really play, to be honest with you.
And then where do you stand on, like, there's a lot of services now that will ship your clubs to different places. What are your thoughts on, there's what, it's called ShipSticks, I think is one of the big ones out there. How do you stand on shipping clubs versus just taking them as a checked bag?
I think the service is incredibly ingenious, but I don't trust it. I mean, I just don't, and I've been on too many trips where I've seen it not work, and the heartache and the headache that comes along with it. And unfortunately, it has happened on a couple of our member trips. In fact, we had one that went to Pinehurst, and his clubs finally showed up. You know when they showed up? When we were packing the van to go back to the airport after being there for 3 days. So I'm not saying that they're not a good service. They're a service that I'd say 90, and I'm sure it's 7 or 6 or 8% of the time, they're right there. I personally like to see my bags go with me where I go. I don't know. It's just, call it the old fashioned, you know, the age of me that just trusts that as a way of, you know, traveling versus the other. But I know I've got a lot of friends that do that, and it's so convenient, and it makes your actual day of travel so much easier when you're not having to lug golf clubs around. So there's pros and cons, but me just being me, I haven't really grown to trust him yet. But I'm also the last guy to consider putting, you know, my check into an ATM machine until just recently. So I may not be the best guy.
You haven't used it before? You've just been in groups where people have used it?
Yeah, I've only used it one time. Mm-hmm. I did use it one time, and it was fabulous. Oh, it worked. It worked well. But I've also seen happen too many times, and so I've just been a little bit more gun-shy on doing that. But I've got some friends that swear by it and say they'll never check another bag at a airport again because it's user-friendly cost and it's convenient as all get out. I just haven't gotten over that yet.
Do you happen to know off the top of your head, what is sort of the price point usually that you're looking at? Is it less than, I mean, the check bag price, it feels like goes up $5 every year.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, it's about a break-even proposition, especially if you're domestically. Mm-hmm. Now, it can get a little bit more pricey going over to Europe, and especially depending on where you're going in Europe, where you want these clubs to eventually arrive. But domestically, it's about a wash. You know, you're talking, you know, 60, 70 bucks one way. You know, but the beauty of it is they'll pick them up right at your, you know, office, the home, wherever. But yeah, it's like technology. It's really, really good when it works, but when it doesn't, now becomes a whole different pattern on trying to figure out where are my bags? Because at least with an airline, you know, it's this airline where it started. But once that bag gets picked up from ShipSticks and disappears from your front door and heads to an airport, from there on out, where it goes, but I guess to your point with the AirTag would be a very suggested best practice when you're going to use ShipSticks for sure.
All right. All those good stuff. If you missed any of the travel tips and tricks, you can check it out on the CDGA Golf Show podcast. Just find our tab on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. When we come back, we will go around the CDGA to wrap everything up. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app. Yeah.
Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. You miss any of it, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app, CDGA podcast tab, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search the CDGA Golf Show. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Mike, what's going on around the CDGA this week?
Well, first and foremost, I just wanted to say a big thank you to the CDGA members that came out to volunteer to really help make the Chicago Adaptive Open last weekend so very, very special. Not only for us as the organizers, but for the golfers themselves. I think we did a tremendous job in showcasing Chicago, Cog Hill, and you know what we do at the CDGA to not only to the athletes themselves, but to all those that were out there watching and spectating and enjoying all the action. So a huge, huge thank you, and we look forward to seeing you next year. You know, CDGA members, be on the lookout. The July edition will be landing in your home shortly, and it has some really, really good articles this month. It's a can't miss edition. So be on the lookout that in the mailbox here soon. And as far as some of our member perks that we have going in July, some really good ones. The Highlands of Elgin and Bowes Creek, both clubs out in the northwest up in the Elgin area, two great, great public golf courses. Mike Lehman has made a special offer before noon for CDGA members Monday through Wednesday, $65. That includes a cart. Ron Cassidy, our friend up at Glenview Park, he's doing an early bird special from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Monday to Friday, $69.95 for a twosome with the cart.
Wow.
And you get a sleeve of golf balls. So, you know, if you're up for some early morning golf up in the North Shore, Glenview Park Golf Club is a place to go. And if you need a lesson, you're in that type of the season or in that part of the season where you're not sure what's happening at the top of your swing, or you might be in the market for perhaps maybe a new club or clubs or a whole set, if you head to Golf Tech, $75, you get a $75 swing evaluation or a club fitting complimentary for CDGA members this month in July. Jersey Mike's always has the $2 off, and with this being the holiday weekend, what a great time to stop by Jersey Mike's and pick up one of their delicious sandwiches. Myself, I'm a fan of the number 8 Mike's Way, but they're all great selections there. And for those out in the western suburbs, Phillips Park, $48, includes a cart from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock and $44 from 1 to 3. And then Lou out at Fox Bend from Monday to Friday, he's got a twosome special Monday to Friday, any part of the day for $80. You can't beat that. And then Dan Hotchkin, our friend up at Palatine Hills. In fact, we will be at Palatine Hills next week for the 4-person CDGA Scramble. But Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, 11 to 1:30, CDGA members can play there for $99, and that includes a cart. So we've got a lot of great golf offers for people that are looking to get outside of their traditional course where they play. So CDGA members, you got a lot of great member benefits going out in July. And there's even more if you go to the CDGA.org website and click on into your portal and look at member benefits, and you'll see there's, you know, the Den at Fox Creek. We have Sunset Valley's got an offer, the Bloomingdale Golf Club. So plenty of golf to be had out there. It's some really advantageous pricing. And, yeah, enjoy your golf out there. Enjoy the great weather. I mean, this is absolutely ideal for summer conditions. This is
especially
like
July.
July, are you kidding? So how about you? When are you going to start playing some golf? When's that finger going
to
get better?
I may make my return to the course. I have to see what the like rehab process is, but I think I should be good for the CDGA Golf Show listener outing. That may be my return to the course.
Okay.
Hoping
that
so.
Sounds great. We look forward to having you.
The pin comes out, I think, the day before. So I think after that I'm in the clear as long as the rehab goes all right. So.
Well, that sounds great. It would be good to have you back, and I can't wait to get you out on the golf course.
Cannot wait. That'll be up at our presenting sponsor, Glenview Park Golf Club. So looking forward to all of that. All right, that is going to do it for us this week. We will talk to you next week here on the CDGA Golf Show, the segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We'll talk to you next week.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.